We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Getting you set for Pats and Cardinals. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Fourth and final hour of NFL Sunday. Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy here with you. Taking up until 1 o'clock, that is when the 4-6 Patriots will kick off with the 6-4 Cardinals at Gillette Stadium. The inactives are already out. No big surprises for the Patriots. Of course, Isaiah Wynn and Rex Burkhead placed on IR earlier in the week. Sony Michel is active. We'll see what kind of role he carves out for himself. I'm curious, Wiggy, what kind of role do you think he will have today?
I don't think much of a role because when you think about, you know, it's not like he can do what Rex Burkhead could do. Right. And why would you take reps away from Damian Harris? He hasn't done anything negatively to lose those reps. So I don't see him getting much of a role. I think he's there just for an insurance just in case something happens with Damian Harris. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play and they'll give him a series or two. I think it'll depend on how Harris does. Harris didn't play great last week. And maybe you could say, well, they stopped running him. But I don't know. The runs that he did have. Listen, I feel like Harris, I think, ultimately is a better back. But it just shows if a team decides to take you out of it, it doesn't really matter who you are. Harris got shut out for the plays that he had. The offensive line couldn't block it. I mean, he had some decent plays. It wasn't anything that Sony Michel couldn't do. I don't want to be the president of the Sony Michel fan club by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, it sounds like you are, Christian, on this one.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Christian, are you saying Sony Michel's the third best running back in the league?
Is that what you're saying right now? I'm just saying, Harris was the flavor of the month, and you were so disgruntled by Sony Michel that anyone showing any sort of heartbeat, you were going to be attracted to. That's what I'm saying. I don't think Harris is great. I think Harris is... He's a decent back, but I don't know what's so special, unique about him. What does he do that is so different than all the other backs in the league?
Hits the hole.
He seems like he's better.
Great. I mean, all the backs hit the hole.
Well, Sony Michel doesn't.
Yeah, Sony doesn't hit it like that. I give Damian Harris credit. He hits his hole.
Yeah.
Sony at times kind of looks like he's tiptoeing through the hole. Where you look at the, you know, and I blame more of his rush numbers last week on the fact that they didn't give him the football. And I know Lou had that exchange with Bill about, you know, the number of carries, which I agree with Lou. Like, why would you not give this guy? I would give Damian Harris 20 carries a game no matter what.
Yeah, you know, especially against the worst defense in football, I would have done that, but.
Yeah. Well, this one isn't any better. The Cardinals aren't in any better situation.
No, they're similar. You're right. They're similar.
So, so when I went back and listened to that, the sound of like, so Bill technically answered the question. It was his tone and his demeanor of like, how dare you, you know, question me. I think that really got Lou kind of going.
Yeah, the middle of it was an actual answer, I think. It was sort of like how he started and how he ended was...
Yeah, so his answer was, listen, they played some defensive fronts that made it more advantageous for us to throw. So there's your answer.
Okay.
Listen, they played a front that said, you're taking away your ability to run. We're going to play our normal front, but we're going to shade everything over to the side that we think the ball is running towards, which gives our defensive line and linebackers a better opportunity to run it down. And they did. So, I don't know, but I just feel like so last week was who? I forgot who the defensive coordinator was. This week it's Vance
Romeo
Joseph.
Crennel.
That's right, Romeo. Rack, how can you forget? So I would say advantage Romeo based on just, hey, I know you. I know sausage is stuffed, so I should be able to – but we'll see what Vance can do. Because they're hurting on the defensive line. They got a lot of guys that are out, some guys coming back. So they should be able – this should be a game plan to say, okay, we're going back to doing what we do best, which is running the football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll stick with it, though.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937. Matt is in Rhode Island. He joins us next on NFL Sunday. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. What a day for football, huh?
Yes, sir. Over
beautiful outside.
Yes, sir. I would agree with you. And you said, Keith, I would take DeAndre Hopkins as the first wide receiver. But I also think it obviously has a lot to do with the rest of that receiving core, besides Larry Fitzgerald, obviously, who's going to be out today. They got a couple of really good receivers, Kurt, and obviously the guy throwing them the ball, right?
Sure.
Couple good running backs, too, not to sleep on. So I think they're, it's going to be a real test for the Patriot defense today. I think, Wiggy, you were saying just like find some way to get some pressure on them. I don't think you can sit back and let this happen. I'll let the game play out with Murray. I think they're going to find a way to pick you apart, and they can put up some points. So it should be interesting. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yes, for sure, Matt. Thanks for the call. I mean, I said before, I think Hopkins is the best receiver in all of football. And there's suddenly a really good group at the top there, but I would take him over everybody else.
Yeah, no. Listen, I agree with you. The guy's phenomenal. I remember when he was playing for Houston, we were like break it down and like watching the film. Like it didn't matter. They just threw the ball up. And he just caught it. He was like double covered, triple covered, didn't matter. They still felt like they had the odds as far as completing that play. But I don't know, just going back to our conversation about running the football, who's going to be running the football, is anyone concerned that Isaiah Wynn is out today? Inactive today?
Not ideal. He's on IR.
He's on IR. That's right. Yeah. Is anyone else kind of concerned with what the left side of that line is going to look like?
Yeah, because they've been able to do – they've been able to get by when a guy goes down. But
yeah,
I'm
not really concerned. You know, when I think about it, Rich, you talked about it. It seems like the O-line is their best position on this football team.
It is. I think it's their best position group, but at the same time, Wynn's been a big part of that.
Yeah, that is true. But it seems like they've been able to put guys in, and you haven't really noticed if – you know, I know Tooney was hurt for a couple weeks, and they were able to kind of manage that. It seems like, they've been able to manage some of those situations, whether it's been Shaq Mason, Isaiah Wynn went down. But, I mean, I'm not overly concerned because I feel like they've done a good job as far as the O-line. The fact is, I look at it, they're going to stay committed to running the football. Because that's what it's all about. If you're willing to stay committed to running the football, I think eventually the run will come around. I think Damian Harris is a good enough back and he can get those tough yards. But you got to stay committed to doing it. So if they're overloaded one way, you know what you do? Guess what? You run the other way.
Oh, yeah. You go opposite. Oh, right. That's smart. Good coaching.
I would think it'd be that easy.
Call that
right?
audible. You know, a little Rhonda, Linda.
I would say, guess what? Every time we line up in a certain formation, they want to overload because we know we're running this. So we're going to line up in a certain formation. We're just going to run the other way.
I wonder if any of the coaches are listening to this show.
Well, clearly they weren't.
Part of the pregame ritual.
What did Bill say? He said, well, they, based on what they were showing us, we didn't want to run.
If you're Arizona, don't you just do kind of what Houston did? Like, hey, even if our personnel's not great, we're going to take away the run, both Harris and Newton. Like, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to throw on us, like, so be it.
I think the game plan is pretty easy, especially later on in the game when you know they got to have it. You blitz them. They can't win. And even if they do win, I would say you have an added advantage because you don't think that Cam Newton can even throw it. Even you don't think so. If he is open, it's going to be an inaccurate pass. So it's going to make the degree of difficulty even higher. I just feel like they win those situations. Those types of situations, they win them. Blitz them, man them up, just slow them down for a half second. Let him pat the ball a little bit, and someone will get free.
What do you do on the flip side? If you're the Patriots against this offense, how do you even begin?
Same game plan. I'd blitz Kyler Murray. Blitzing a quarterback is, no matter
I feel
if
like
it's
him running and throwing.
But so
kind of nervous about that.
I would rather take my chances. I would rather take my chances with a guy being free and making the play versus. Because we already know you are not getting no pass rush with just relying on four guys. I'm not going to let a guy sit back there all day long and pick my defense apart because sooner or later that's what's going to happen. When you see quarterbacks struggle, and I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL, or the 32nd starter of an NFL team, when you put pressure in that person's face, it makes it difficult for guys. And I would do the same thing to Kyler Murray. I'd put pressure in his face, and I'd put a blitz in there and say, hey, listen, the strength of my defense is my back end. You're going to play man coverage and make the play. We're going to have an extra guy, so we'll always have a free rusher.
There was also an interesting comment that Belichick made about DeAndre Hopkins this week, which kind of relates to that, where he said he has freedom in his routes, which I thought was sort of a nice way of being like Tom Brady wouldn't have liked him because he just kind of does his own thing. But part of it is if Murray does get blitzed and he's running outside, you have one of the best receivers, or in my opinion, the best receiver, but also a guy that'll adapt. And so he'll change his route, he'll break his route off or whatever. And I think that's probably the last thing you'd want to do.
See, I heard it as more of he's a very clever, savvy route runner.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I heard it. I heard it as here's a guy.
Freedom in his routes, though?
Yep. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I guess I think that relationship only happens when the quarterback says, F it, I'm just going to wait on him.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to wait on him. And I think they do wait on him. I think the good ones have that relationship. Now, I would say, like, Amendola probably had that. Moss probably had that.
Yeah,
like, there's
the
play that you run. Then there's the, okay, listen, this ain't, we both know they figured us out and they're onto it, but here's the new opening. I'm going here. And they wait on it and they throw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can only do that when you get time.
Let's go back to the phones. We got Danny and Quincy. He joins us next on NFL Sunday. What's up, Danny?
Well, before I get to the pass rush from last week, which I think is a complete false narrative, when they were down 21-10, why did you expect the Patriots to run the football? How could you expect a team to run the football when they're down 21-10?
Because you had a whole half of football left to go, and Houston's dead last in rushing defense.
So I just don't understand it. And by the way, they got back in the game on that 42-yard pass to Bird. They got back in the game on the first drive of the second half. If I'm not mistaken, it was right around that time. So they got back in the game using the pass. And by the way, they did try to run the football on the drive that Burkhead got hurt. They had two running plays on that, but they had two pass plays as well. I mean, this notion they were down 11, and you have to mix it up a little bit.
Well, so, yeah, they should have mixed it up. All they did was pass.
No, they didn't. You're right.
Damian Harris had three carries.
Right. And what was his yardage totals on those three?
I don't know. You have to go look it up.
You have to go back and look it up now.
Not much.
Go ahead and grab
not much. Okay.
No, you can look it up. You have the internet as well. You can look it up.
I mean, yeah, but I don't have much.
You're too busy. I didn't realize how busy you were to get to that. My bad.
I mean, last year when he beat the Patriots on the last drive, he was the worst quarterback in the history of not only the NFL, Pop Warner, and now you're promoting him over Cam Newton. This is rich, Fourier.
Who?
Oh, this is rich. Unbelievable. It's amazing how people
get. How did I get ripped into this?
As far as the pass rush goes last week, I think it's a misnomer. They had Watson dead to rights a few times in the pocket. They had hands on him. They were boxing him in. And Winovich, at least four occasions, left his post on the edge and tried to take the inside route. And Watson broke containment, and that's where he did his damage. Unfortunately for the Patriots and me, he picked that game to have his best game. He was unstoppable, and the coverage was good. You can't blame the coverage last week.
Now, one thing I will say that Danny is right on is that Winovich is so aggravating when it comes to getting out of, you know, going inside when he shouldn't go inside and not keeping contained.
Talking.
And there's a lot, but there's a lot of times if you watch him, it looks like he should be setting the edge and even in the pass rush. And then the last minute, he'll want to loop all the way underneath and then the quarterback will break containment. There's a lot of times where he gets very, very undisciplined in his pass rush.
He definitely thinks he's pretty good, doesn't he?
He does.
I guess
for some reason, because he has long hair, he thinks he's Clay Matthews.
there is. I honestly think there's something to that.
I don't know. I just, it's the hard-o in him that I just can't handle. I just can't handle it.
I don't blame you.
It just, he's, not to kind of like, you know, muzzle a guy, but because, you know, listen, be who you want to be. I don't care. I'm not going to buy into the whole, like, you're so thoughtful and evolve. Oh, my God. I can't do it.
He's got a little Kyle Van Noy to him.
Yeah, man, but Kyle Van Noy is winning championships.
And making plays.
But Kyle Van Noy also went on the revenge tour last year, which made no sense. And then
that was a bad move on his part.
But
he had already won, two Super Bowls? When Kyle Van Noy went on the revenge tour.
To go on a revenge tour.
I think he had two Super Bowls under his belt after that one.
That before the playoff game last year against the Titans, Wiggy.
Right, I know, but he had already...
revenge for what?
No, but what I'm saying is he had already won two Super Bowls, so it's kind of like, you know what? All right, you made some plays. Now you're talking a little bit. You got a little bit of a resume where Winovich has no resume. What has Winovich done? For him to say anything? He's had what? He had 5 sacks last year?
Something like that.
Yeah, but they were all like it wasn't like he earned the sack and beat a guy. They were all blitz created, you know, just coming free type stuff. So I don't hold those with as much reverence as, you know, a guy who has, I'm one-on-one, it's you and me, and I get past you and I get the quarterback. I think they're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't do that. He don't get past guys one-on-one.
He is kind of like intriguing though to me, like when I see him play, because there are some things, like he does a really decent job of like coming from distance and, like, you know, translating all that speed into force. He does a good job doing this.
Well, put him on
punt team.
He's
real active. He is. He's on all those teams, but he's just, I personally feel like he's really could make a name for himself playing off the ball like he did against Baltimore. I feel like that's where he could shine. Real active.
Yeah,
fast.
That was the best game probably.
I felt like, I mean, there's something there for him. On the line, listen, you're not going to set the edge, dude. Like, that ain't going to happen. Maybe against Ryan Izzo, but no, any tight end worth anything is not going to let you win. They'll run you out to the sideline. Okay, fine, you set the edge, but you didn't win the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
so
but
you
can't even
weird.
Win a pass rush, though, Christian. I mean,
I feel like there's something there to him. Like, take out the hard-o comments, which drive me insane. but I do think there's something there to him just as far as being a football player. I do. But not like the way it's constituted now. On the line, front side, please. Bulmer runs you every single day, please. Like Tooney was a couple weeks ago. Run at this dude. When guys come off the line, off the field, and they go, can we please run it at the guy with the wavy hair? I don't even know his name. We don't even know who he is.
The guy looks like Clay Matthews. Run it at Clay Matthews.
The guy that thinks he's Clay Matthews, can we please
run
it at
him? The guy that has 2.5 sacks this year. The one who thinks he's Clay Matthews, but he only has 2.5. Look, can we run towards him?
Yeah. please.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Over and over and over again.
I don't see that. Now, defensively, are there a couple of guys that you feel like have been bright spots for them, even in some of their bad games? Are there guys?
I tell
you,
Kid Hall looks like he's played pretty decent.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
your expectations were non-existent.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. I didn't know who
he was.
Yeah, yeah, no clue. I learned his name and saw he played, made a bunch of tackles.
he's better than I thought he was.
Yeah. Right.
Suddenly,
but nobody's. Who's really like? Is there anybody on that defense that's got you going? Huh.
Who is it? Carl Davis. Oh yeah, who's on IR now? Yep. Oh no, he's got a concussion.
Yep.
The big guy. The big guy
Big Carl. You're not gonna see Big Carl.
Big Carl, no. Not gonna see him anymore. Let me see. Kyle, okay. Are we just saying who's standing out or who's that guy's gonna be good?
I guess both. Yeah, so actually you were gonna say Kyle Duggar.
Can't cover to save his life, but boy, can he tackle.
That's really good. You can't cover nobody.
Can't cover. He can't cover the one guy.
Put him on punt team.
Now that doesn't. You want everybody on punt team. That doesn't mean that he won't be able to cover at some point in time. Right now,
yeah.
Who was the guy covering when he was at, you know, whatever school he went to?
Lenore Vine.
Well, guess what? They probably weren't throwing to Akins, who, you know, whoever the schools they were playing against. They probably had no tight ends there. So he didn't have to cover anybody.
Yeah, so not that he won't be able to in the future, but right now he can't cover. I would be like, our tight ends are going to have to make plays, which they do.
They do. They make a ton of plays.
Otherwise, nobody.
I'd say, you know who I would say? Adrian Phillips.
Adrian Phillips has been good, yeah. He's been fine. Like, they went from, you know, Daron Harmon to Patrick Chung a year ago to Phillips and Duggar this year. Well, that's been fine.
You know why we praise Adrian Phillips?
Because he makes a lot of tackles?
He gets his ass kicked over and over again like Rudy. He just gets up and goes back in there.
He just makes all the tackles because the front seven's so bad that every running back makes it to Adrian Phillips, and then so he tackles.
Because when they put him inside the box and, like, I see the guards or tackles or the centers and the guards, like, popped. Combo block to him, I'm like, oh, my God, dude.
What's that tell you when they got to put a...
And then he just, like, makes a tackle while he's being pushed on his back. Yeah.
What's that tell you when they got to put a 5'10", 190-pound safety, at linebacker depth in the box? And tell you
You're
something about
pretty
your linebackers?
Good safety on the other side today, by the way.
Yeah,
but he's usually, but when you think about it, when your safety is in the box, like playing the run like that, I don't care what you're going to do. The guard's going to eat him up every single time. I mean,
we credit him for just getting whooped. I go, wow, Adrian Phillips, he's tough. I mean, yeah, you just keep beating him up, and he just keeps getting up. Like, okay, credit to him for not saying, okay, what are we doing? Why do you have me here? Because if I'm him, like, dude, will you please stop playing me inside?
It hurts.
Please.
Everything hurts.
Their front seven is that's been a real – and, normally the Patriots usually – the front seven is a strength of the Patriots teams. When you think about them throughout the years, it's, their back end's not good enough or what corners they got. Normally the front seven, they usually got good linebackers, solid linebackers, solid defensive linemen, but this year it's just, at times it looks like they got nobody.
Well, despite all of the COVID positives popping up all over the league, we still have a full slate of games today, so we'll go around the NFL when we come back here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Getting you set for Pats and Cardinals. Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
All right, back here on NFL Sunday, broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Time now to go around the NFL for Week 12. And we do have a game on Tuesday night, but every team is playing this week. For some reason, no bye weeks in Week 12. There are some bye weeks in Week 13. But regardless, so let's go around the league right now. You have the 6-4 Raiders at the 3-7 Falcons, who are playing without Todd Gurley and Julio Jones.
Oh. Okay, well, listen. I think the Raiders are better than a lot of people thought they were.
Uh-huh.
And they're probably really regretting losing to the Patriots at home. Because they're better than the Patriots, and hell, they're almost just as good as the Kansas City Chiefs. They play them well.
They do.
I got Raiders on this. They're one of the teams that
they're a playoff team. So if you're the Pats, you're watching. You're hoping that Atlanta could pull a miracle out of that.
Speaking of playoff teams, the 7-3 Bills hosting the 3-7 Chargers. I know the wins aren't there, but Justin Herbert has been good, as good as any rookie quarterback has through 9 games.
It's a team you'll see next week.
Yes.
Chargers,
We'll look ahead here. Keenan Allen's playing like one of the best receivers in the league. They have playmakers on defense, but they haven't really been able to put the whole thing together yet.
Yeah, they have the stat we talk about every week. The last 3 losses are combined, 8 points.
Right.
It's like one of those deals.
Okay.
What does that do for you? It makes them feel better about themselves. Like they're not getting just whipped up on.
Uh-huh. The 2-7-1 Bengals, of course, playing the rest of the season without their top pick, Joe Burrow, are hosting the 3-7 Giants, who are, of course, right in the mix in the NFC East.
They are.
Yep.
Wait, say that one again.
The Giants are in the mix.
Bengals, Giants. No Joe Burrow, Giants can very well win the division.
God, man, it's so hard to care about any of these games.
Yeah,
other than the fact that the Giants are still in it. That's amazing.
What do you think the record of the team that wins that the NFC East is going to be?
What's the worst it could be?
6-10
I think they'll be 6-10 because all of two of their wins have come from just in the division. So even the the wins that they have is a little misleading because they just beat each other.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, because they I know. Hey, just beat the teams in our division. It will be good. It is amazing. It is amazing. And I would say that that division, they haven't really been hit by any COVID issues. Washington, no. Giants, no.
No, the big
Dallas,
thing is,
no.
is Dak Prescott, obviously, with the horrible injury. Not COVID issue, but he got...
Yeah, but COVID was, I mean, you know the injuries were always part of it, but the COVID would be that, no COVID issues, so they still suck.
Hasn't been it. Here's a good one at 1 o'clock. This is one of the games that we're going to be picking here in a little bit. Titans, Colts in Indianapolis. Teams are 7-3.
Okay, so I would say that just, listen, the great division, great matchup. I still believe in this this. I don't know what it's, what the Titans have is that uncanny ability to win the close games. Even though they're probably on paper they're not as talented, but they win the close games.
Yeah, but then they lose the games that they lose the games where you don't expect them to. You should like, all right, but Titans will win that game.
But Mike does a great job of prepping his team, explaining things to them. They make smart decisions. They may get beat one on one, but they don't make the typical bad decisions that those other teams make.
And the Colts are scrappy. Rivers,
yeah, the Colts roster is good, but Phillip Rivers. And then Jonathan Taylor is not playing. He's out as well today. Also at 1 o'clock, you have the 4-7 Panthers at the 4-6 Vikings. This is the Jermaine Wiggins Bowl right here.
Yeah, this game means nothing.
No,
I got Minnesota. Minnesota is still... I guess they used to be still in it, but I mean,
nah,
now
they're not
they're 4-6. They're in the same situation you're in as a Patriot.
Yeah, they might, but there's less teams in the NFC. I feel like that they need to leapfrog.
Yeah,
there's
definitely less teams in it because you think about this: the 8th seed in the NFC is 5-5, and when you look at versus the AFC, there's like, you know,
a million 6-4 teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think the Vikings have a chance. They lost last week, though, which would have given them a good chance. They lost to Dallas, which was – they would have had, I think, 5 straight wins, so they screwed that up. AFC East matchup, the 6-4 Dolphins, who will be playing without Tua Tagovailoa, so Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the start, at the 0-10 Jets.
Do you think the Jets won't win a game this whole year?
Yeah.
Or do they stumble and beat somebody?
No, I think they're gonna.
When's the last team to not win? Was it Detroit?
Browns. A couple years ago. Jackson. Yeah.
It's so amazing that actually happened. The Dolphins are good. The Dolphins are good, and they could be almost even better with Ryan Fitzpatrick as long as he doesn't throw in 500 interceptions like he's prone to do. But games like this with Fitzpatrick, he comes back and he almost proves to everyone why he still belongs in the league. He'll light it up.
Yeah, he might. The last of the 1 o'clock games, of course, besides Patriots and Cardinals, is the 7-3 Browns at the 1-9 Jaguars. It feels like this is a year where even Cleveland shouldn't be able to screw this up because they have a bunch of winnable games down the stretch that they should be in the playoffs this year.
Man, you said 7-3 in Browns, and I'm like, I don't believe it. I feel like they're the worst of the good teams.
They are. They're barely beating all these teams, but they're beating them. Like, their offense doesn't look great. Obviously, Beckham's out, but they don't look all that
special.
You're
like, how are they here? What's
I,
wait
it's
a second.
Weird.
It's Buffalo like, who did let them in the party? Year. You know, they're one of those people. Like, who let them in the party? What?
Yeah, but Buffalo did this last year. They were like, they were barely beating some of the bad teams, and they were competitive, but ended up losing against a good team. So they ended up being 10-6.
Yeah. Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. You have the 8-2 Saints at the 4-6 Broncos, who we led off the show talking about because all of their quarterbacks are ineligible to play today. Jeff Driscoll has COVID. The other two, Brett Rippon and Drew Locke, were too close to him. Their practice squad quarterback, Blake Bortles, also too close to him. They're all high risk. So all four of them can't play today. So they are going with a practice squad wide receiver as their starting quarterback today against the Saints.
Did you guys hear that they were trying to get one of their assistant coaches to be the quarterback? Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they were supposed
to go the water boy route.
They were trying to go the e-bug route, Wiggy. They were trying to grab a random guy to play goalie, an emergency goalie for them. And they said, no, you couldn't do that. You still have to play. We're not going to delay the game to Tuesday like we did Ravens-Steelers. But you guys have to play. And so Kendall Hinton is going to be the starting quarterback. He did play some quarterback at Wake Forest, but he's a practice squad wideout.
But the fact that the Denver Broncos said that the quarterback quality control coach, Rob Calabrese, or whatever his name is more suited to run the offense than any player in the league.
Now, this in some places, the game was taken off the board to bet on. I'm looking at a place right now where Saints are 16.5-point favorites in Denver.
They should be.
They should be. Right. I mean, it could be even more. That is as crazy. And the over-under for the game, 36.5.
You know, this is one of those things where they go up early and then they give Jameis Winston like a tryout. Like, this is his live tryout.
Yeah.
That's what they end up doing.
Just play the rest of it.
We were in situations like this. So they used to have, they just run the Wildcat. That's what they're going to run a lot of.
Yeah.
Well, why would they give Jameis Winston the reps when maybe they want to see if the kid Taysom Hill is the future?
But
right.
they know what he can do. He won last week. They signed him to a big contract.
I mean, they got
they
a whole
know
game.
Who he is.
You know, Breeze isn't playing, obviously, so you could do half and half, be like a preseason game.
Yeah.
How it looks. The 4-6 49ers at the 7-3 Rams. Team the Patriots will face in a couple of weeks. Rams 4-0 at home.
It's that California crowd. So it's only the county where the San Francisco 49ers play Santa Clara.
They need to find a new spot.
Yeah, the Niners can't play at home. Okay.
Rams can. They are playing at the Rams, SoFi Stadium.
But you know what? It's coming in. It's coming for the Rams, too.
Probably.
They're about 2 weeks away from L.A. County and Orange County doing the exact same thing.
So those two L.A. games the Patriots have coming up, I guess.
They literally could be played in Arizona. They could be played in Phoenix, Vegas.
Ooh, Mexico City. Belichick would love that.
Let's do that. Just find some grass. That's all you need to do. No, the Rams are good. I like the Rams, and they were one of my sleeper teams in the NFC West anyways.
Yeah, you're right. They're good. Now, this should be the game of the day, game of the week. I think we had it circled at the beginning of the season. At 4:25, the 9-1 Chiefs at the 7-4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you got Mahomes v. Brady.
It was, but Tampa's not the same team that we thought they were going to be.
They're still good, though. I just feel like every time they lose, people freak out. Like, they're good.
Because they don't look good. Do they look good?
No, they do look a little disjointed at times.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. They look disjointed.
Yeah.
I would say, and I'm still putting this all on Arians, not to get into a deeper discussion about why Brady went there and maybe some of the regret that he may be dealing with. But this is the game where I would say that they would win. I would say that they have a good chance of winning this game.
Yeah.
The Tampa, because it's like Brady always like over adjust. Like in any team he's been on, like it's an embarrassment. It's this. Okay, let's over adjust, and then they end up fixing it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the line is. This is the game we're calling
3.5. Chiefs are 3.5 favorites on the road, and we're gonna pick it coming up.
Okay.
So. The Sunday night game is an NFC North matchup. The 7-3 Packers hosting the 5-5 Bears.
And isn't it back to Trubisky?
Yes. Mitchell Trubisky is starting for the first time since, I think, week 2 or 3.
Oh, my God. Would you take him next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, no. I would take all these quarterbacks. Yes, 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 yes.
He's top 5 picks.
Why would you not take him, Wiggy? What's wrong? What's wrong with him? He doesn't dress funky. Rap groups that you know. Like, why?
I don't because I don't think he's the answer, right? And I'd rather the guy that
Cam Newton is.
Well, Cam's not the answer.
But I'd rather the devil I know versus the devil I don't know.
I would say, give me a quarterback in this system, young, electric arm, lots of upside, and then put him in a system with some consistency and tutelage that makes sense.
Where's that consistency and tutelage?
From Josh McDaniels. What Josh McDaniels has shown me, if anything, that he is an unbelievable offensive coordinator, and I think he's a good teacher
as opposed to
Bruce Arians, who is not.
But what I don't get is, right, Rich, and this is always what baffles me, how does a guy who has more talent around him and Mitchell Trubisky and have a solid coach in Matt Nagy have more talent on both sides of the football, struggle there, and then people all of a sudden think he's going to come to New England with less talent on both sides of the football and is going to be good?
Obvious example is the one that you're not paying attention to.
And what's
that? It's right underneath your nose. Tom Brady. You have the best quarterback to ever play it with the most talent, and they're disjointed. Why? Because the teacher sucks. Both of them, the offensive coordinator and the head coach, they're freaking terrible. That, to me, is the ultimate sign.
Trubisky has a winning record as a starter, if you want to use that. It's not like he's taking all that talent and submarined it. He's 26-18 career as a starter. But let's go to the Monday night game. You have the Seahawks at the Eagles. Seahawks are 7-3, Eagles 3-6-1. And oh, by the way, they're saying that Jalen Hurts is going to get a lot more playing time this week. So Carson Wentz could also be another one of those highly drafted big name guys that is looking for a team next
year. Them all. I'll take all your all your damaged goods. I'm like, the Patriots are like,
I love it.
The Patriots are like one of those furniture makeover shows where they go to these barns and they find this. Yeah.
Take everybody
else's
trash.
You can take it for $5. And they go ahead and they shine it up and they sand it up and they gloss it up and they make it a headboard. You're
so
like,
Island of Misfit Toys.
One man's trash is another man is the Patriots' treasure.
Yes, sir.
Tuesday night, the undefeated Steelers 10-0 against the 6-4 Ravens. No Lamar Jackson. He's got COVID. So there you go. That is the list of games for week 12. Everybody in action. Of course, you have the two Thanksgiving games as well. When we come back, we'll find out how we did picking games last week, pick three games for this week, and then say goodbye. You are listening to NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Getting you set for Pats and Cardinals. Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on NFL Sunday. It's all been presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zudy, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zudy.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro. This is the portion of the show where we find out how we did picking three games from last week and then pick three games for this week. The Patriots game, Tom Brady and the Bucks, and then one other game as selected by our producer, John Anderson. John, how did we do last week?
Jermaine, you might want to close your ears here for this portion of the program because Jermaine Wiggins picked the Ravens, the Patriots, and the Buccaneers. So 0-3 week for Wiggy.
Woo! Uh-oh. Means there's a chance to kind of make up some
The door's open. Hey, hold the door.
Hold the door. What about the rest of us?
So looking at Keith and Fourier, though, they picked the Titans and the Rams, so they both went 2-1. So Wiggy's 0-3 week combined with Fourier's 2-1 week brings them to a tie for first place.
Wow, come back, kid.
Wow.
And Keith, you went 2-1, so you're 16-17, so you're coming back, but you're not quite there.
Nobody doing very well, but here we go. Three games for the week. John, what's the first game?
First game, we'll do one of the best AFC matchups of the week. The Tennessee Titans are 3-point underdogs at the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, the last time these two played was only 3 weeks ago, and the Colts blew out the Titans 34-17. Breakout games from, I believe, Nyheim Hines and Michael Pittman Jr. in that game. Mm. But this time, Titans are at the Colts, 3-point dogs. Who you guys got?
Pittman's been coming on, by the way. He looks really, really good.
I'm going Colts.
I'll take the Titans getting the 3 points. Give me Tennessee. I like them a lot more. I think Phillip Rivers will throw a pick late or something. So give me the Titans.
I'm going with you. So Wiggy's got the Colts.
Yep.
And then I have the Titans.
Okay.
Bam, there goes my lead.
Feels like they're ganging up on you, Wiggy.
Yeah. What? That's how
does
this
make you feel?
Take it as a
you don't got
respect.
Moss here.
No, it's true.
Next up, we have got the Kansas City Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites at Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
Oof. This one's tough.
This one's a little bit tough. I will go first so we can act accordingly. I am going to take the Bucs. They're getting 3.5 points?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll take them.
I was going Kansas City anyways.
Good.
Okay. I'm also going to take the Tampa Bay Bucs. I think we get so knee-jerk reaction with them, and then at the end of the year you say, well, they beat the Packers, they had the Chiefs, and even though they got blown out by the Saints, so they're a hard team to figure out, but I will take the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Or you're going to say, they beat the Packers and got blown out by the Saints and the Chiefs.
You could.
Either
we'll find
way.
Out around 7:30 tonight.
Yep.
And finally, you've got the Arizona Cardinals at the New England Patriots today. So there was a bit of a spread earlier this morning, and then the odds makers must have tuned in right when Wiggy said that if the Patriots play like a good team, they're a good team. And all of a sudden, the line went flying in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
it is currently a pick 'em between the Cardinals and
the
Patriots.
You.
I'll take the really? Cardinals.
How did what you said in any way correlate to you telling us anything?
Well, because
this?
The Patriots, when they play good, they're a good football
the game
team.
Hasn't
they're good. They're
yet.
Good.
They
when
are
bad,
good.
They're bad. And they've been more bad than good.
I'll take the Pats and the win.
I'll take the Cardinals to win.
Pats and win.
Ooh, here we go. Swing game. Big
it
swing
is.
Game right there. All right, there you have it. I think. I just think you. Before you mentioned the Isaiah Wynn injury, you throw that in with the Rex Burkhead injury. I saw Hannibal tweeting out that it looks like Illuminor is going to get the start at left tackle with Onwenu at right tackle, and then everybody in the middle as normal. So we'll see how it works out. Again, Patriots Monday tomorrow. You'll have Cam Newton on the Greg Hill Show with Wiggy. You'll have James White and Lawrence Guy on with me and Dale, and Bill Belichick on with OMF. So for Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, our producer John Anderson, I'm Rich Keefe. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the Patriots and Cardinals game, and we will all talk to you tomorrow. And also, as soon as this game is over, right here on WEEI, you have the Real Post Game Show with Glenn, Fred, and Steve. All right, everybody, have a good one.
All
talk
right.
to you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.